Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
That's Benny King, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. You can read, you can listen, you can watch the videos. We have a new video every week, sometimes two. We have dozens of podcasts on there that are broken out, completely easy to identify to see what's on your mind. And if you don't see what you like there on the homepage, just do a little search around in the categories or in the search bar, and I'm sure we got something that will help you there. Paul Howard is our guest. Paul's with us. He's a great member of our Brain Trust now for several years. Member of the Manhattan Institute's cadre of senior fellows. His beat is the medical progress side. He writes on medical issues, healthcare reform, that sort of thing. Paul, the subject of our conversation is the hit that innovation is going to take when Obamacare comes fully into play. And which it very well may. We'll know more today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the things that we know for sure is that medical devices are going to have been targeted by Obamacare. Talk to us about that.
Right. A number of industries are getting hit by taxes, medical device industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, are getting new taxes levied on them. The particular problem for medical device companies is we're not talking about, you know, giant companies like Pfizer here. We're talking about small startup companies that invest a lot in research and development, and are often in the red for the first few years they're running, trying to get up and get their products out in the market. And Obamacare's tax is not on profits, it's on sales. So you're saying to these companies, your sales are going to get hit before you've even made a dime in profit. So they're going to have to cut jobs, they're going to have to send production abroad, or cut back on R&D.
What's this going to do for imported devices? Are they subject to that tax?
I believe all the devices are subject to that tax, but the problem is that, if your margins are thin or non-existent right now, you're going to want to cut them even further. So you're
right.
Going to say, all right, let's move to Mexico. Let's move to China. Let's go somewhere else where we've got lower labor costs, or better yet, let's not even sell in the U.S. market
all
if
this
we can get
is,
it somewhere
is,
else.
It's a form of protectionism. It's a form of misguided, it's a tariff that's misguided. And all it does is another example of the government picking winners and losers, and the marketplace will find its way around that. And the consumer in those countries where the winners and losers are being picked, the customers, the consumers are going to be harmed by this.
If you're wondering why some product is reaching market in Europe, some new device for your heart, or stent for opening up arteries, you're saying, why don't we have that here? This is going to be one of the reasons.
Well, I'm moving toward the time when I'm going to be like the $6 million man. I'm going to have some new parts put in, Paul, and I want those to be the best darn parts I can get. if I got to have a new knee, I want that to be the best knee possible, and I don't want it to be because the government said, yeah, I know you've got this great innovation in your mind, but we're going to tax the heck out of you if you bring it to market. I don't want that.
Well, look at how perverse it is. Don't we want to keep you out there on the golf course or, playing softball with your grandson or catch with your grandson?
Yep.
Instead of, possibly getting injured and winding up in a hospital, we're going to pay $100,000 to keep you there for a few days.
That's exactly right. But wait a minute, aren't these the same people who talk about preventive medicine all the time?
They're thinking of preventive medicine in terms of checkups and cheap generic drugs. They're not thinking of this kind of cutting-edge stuff that can keep you productive and healthy long into, what we think of as our silver years.
The reform of healthcare needs to be promoting innovation, promoting individual self-determination of how you get your healthcare, who you get it from, and how much you pay, Paul. And to me, that means human beings, citizens, American citizens, becoming healthcare customers, not just healthcare consumers.
Absolutely. They have to become customers because the price signal is what makes markets work. And if consumers don't have any price signal, they just will consume whatever they want. Providers don't have any incentive to become more efficient and to cut down on things that are wasteful or improve quality even in some cases. Sometimes hospitals are paid more for doing things worse because if they screw up, they can bill the insurer or Medicare again.
The $25 copay is one of the worst inventions that ever happened. Because that's how much people think medicine costs now, don't they?
Right. Absolutely. You think subsidies are a way of increasing access. They're also a way of increasing prices, because you know that the person who's going to pay is only going to pay $10 or $25 mm-hmm. copay. The hidden price can keep going up. So the pressures to keep prices down are reduced.
Well, and all of these things that are happening, folks, all these pressures put on the device companies, on the pharmaceuticals, et cetera, all this is designed to make it more difficult for the marketplace to do business to drive the solutions to the government solution, isn't it?
Well, the government is most comfortable dealing with big things, right? It wants to deal with big banks, a few big banks, big hospitals, big healthcare systems, because they feel like they're more easily controlled and regulated. But you look at the places in the healthcare economy where innovation is happening, like Walmart's, $4 prescription drug program, or retail health clinics that are spreading across the country with nurses in them. They're located in your local drugstore or grocery store that can get care to you cheaply, efficiently, and quickly. You can be in and out of there in 15 minutes. It's the small and the nimble competitors that are operating close to the consumer where we can really bring innovation down to the ground floor.
Absolutely. Out there to on Main Street. I call it the last mile of the marketplace. That's what we need
more of.
And I'll tell you something, we haven't even talked about what Obamacare is going to do to the medical profession, people who go to school. If I had a young kid who was thinking about becoming a doctor right now, I would talk them out of it, Paul.
Absolutely.
Every doctor I talk to tells me it's not a good time to become a doctor. And if Obamacare is passed, if it comes into law full force, I think we're going to regret it for that reason, if nothing else. When we come back, folks, as you know, Obamacare's the Supreme Court's going to make their decision today, and we're going to talk about that with Paul after these messages. Paul Howard is our guest. He's with the Manhattan Institute. Stay with us.
Until it's gone, and I found out a little too late.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.